Welcome to the Crazy Cool Family Podcast with Don and Suzanne Manning.
A podcast where we share with you great insights about everything family from over 30 years of parenting 7 kids and over a decade of equipping parents through our Crazy Cool Family Ministry.
So let us inspire and equip you to build your best family.
Hey, welcome to the Crazy Cool Family Podcast. Don here with a new friend of mine that's becoming a great friend of mine. So Rod Hanley, welcome to the Crazy Cool Family Podcast.
Thank you, Don. Great to be with you.
So Rod is in Kansas City, Kansas or Missouri? Which one do you, you're in Missouri, aren't you?
Missouri side.
Yes, exactly. So I was up there just a few weeks ago and first time I'd been to Kansas City in a while. Beautiful place if you ever need to go there. But Rod has been there for a long time. And Rod's a former COO of Fellowship of Christian Athletes. If you guys remember, you guys may have been a part of that organization. Maybe your kids are now. Mine is in his high school. And so, but then after that, launched a ministry called Character That Counts, and just has been super involved with men, with athletes all over the world for many, many decades. So one, thank you, Rod, for your service, but also just tell us a little bit about you, your ministry, your family. Let's get everybody to get to know you a little bit.
That's very good. Yes. Well, I've been living in Kansas City the last 30 plus years and married my wife, Jana, here in Kansas City. And we launched a family about 18 months later. And we have 4 kids. Oldest is 30 years old. The youngest is 23. And so we're in our 32nd year of marriage and just loving it. And as you mentioned, Don, had a long history with FCA, ministry near and dear to my heart. I was a former athlete myself. So did that for 15 years, started out in the state of Washington, moved to the Kansas City area to work at the national headquarters in the roles you just mentioned. And it was in the year 2000 that decided to take a little different path and work primarily with men in a ministry called Character That Counts, a ministry I founded. And today we have, I think, 10 or 11 staff members and a bunch of resources that we've put out and a lot of speaking engagements around the country with our team. And just love the fact that I get to do real life with real people talking about the 3 words that we've kind of championed here, the words character, integrity, and accountability. And so love that God's given us a platform and an opportunity to share. And we're not about perfection, but we're about direction. And that's really where we're headed with a lot of the men, women, and teenagers that we work with.
Well, and again, Rod's been doing this, starting with FCA. What, you're probably on like 40 years of ministry and real life ministry, huh?
Yeah, you're aging me here. Yeah, in my mid-20s, I launched into full-time Christian work, and now I'm in my middle 60s now. So, yeah. I guess that the math is about 40 years.
Yeah, well, I say that with all honor because I love it when men and women decide to devote their lives to the kingdom. And whatever way that is, you know, it's maybe through ministry, maybe it's through workplace ministries, things like that. Not everybody's going to work for a church or a ministry, but Rod's had many decades of faithful service. And that really puts him in a position where, you know, especially for the younger parents listening to this audience, you can, and for anybody really, that you can learn from his wisdom. Rod's written many, many books. I heard him teach when I was there, does a great job of bringing God's word, very biblically based, very grounded. And you mentioned 3 words. I want to kind of jump into those, really what we're going to talk about today, and we will touch on character and integrity a little bit, but more importantly, what I really want to talk to you about is this word accountability. I've heard the word accountability for many, many years, and I've heard it in good ways, and I've heard it in ways that go, I want to run from this. But, and then you're talking about really accountability with our kids. And let's talk about first of all, what would you say is your definition of accountability?
Well, I think to give this justice, so let me give you the world's definition, right, from the dictionary. here's how it rolls, and you're gonna immediately say no, thank you, because this is a hard word. It says this: being subject to the obligation to report, explain, or justify your life to somebody else. And then in parentheses, being responsible or answerable to someone else. And of course, when we see that definition, we say, there's no way I want to do that. I mean, I want to fake it till I make it. I don't want to be vulnerable and raw and real and transparent. In fact, my dad told me when I was young, he says, man, you tell people your weaknesses, you tell people your shortcomings, they'll use that against you. I mean, you keep people at arm's length distance, and you portray an image, you portray a persona, you don't go there. You don't allow yourself to be weak. And so accountability is a frightening word. No, thank you. I don't want any part of that, because I want to kind of pretend or not get real and disclose stuff about myself. I don't want to go there. Biblical accountability means that you invest in somebody because you love them and you believe in them and you see the best for them. And you are inviting all this God-given potential, all this this God-given gifts to be on full display. So that you are now walking in freedom and not in this pretend world of trying to live up to something that you're really not. So it's actually being who you are when nobody's watching. It's not living in fear. It's not trying to maintain secrets. It's not trying to be this Mr. Perfect guy when the public lights are on, but it's being this real person. And that's really what integrity and character are talking about. It's about being full and complete and whole. And so I believe that an accountable person is a person who isn't, it's who they really are. It's this authentic, real person. It's being transparent, real, and vulnerable, not for the sake of hiding anymore, but instead of being the real person.
Well, and let me ask you this, because there's so much I want to get to out of this. So I have a feeling that, as my example, I got passionate about family because God had an impact in my life with family. Did God do a work in your life with accountability that led you to say, hey, I really want to teach everybody that'll listen about accountability, character, and integrity? How did that start in your life?
So here's the scene. I'm in full-time ministry in Seattle, Washington. I'm the chaplain of the Seattle Supersonics. I'm doing Bible study with the guys from the Mariners and the Seahawks, and I'm got a really cool, neat ministry going to the University of Washington with the athletes there as well. And doing Bible study, doing all these really neat life-giving things. But can I just be raw with you?
Sure.
I was doing ministry by day and masturbation by night. Mm. I was addicted to porn and trying to play a double life. And it was frightening to wake up in the morning with this haunting question. And this is not a good way to start your day. Lord, will today be the day that people find out who I really am?
Hmm.
And you talk about paralyzing a guy. You talk about just gripped with fear that I would get discovered. And I would have seasons of victory over that, that terrible addiction. And then I'd have just bouts of deep, deep, deep sin and just being overrun by my flesh and the temptations of this world and everything else. And so accountability became my wake-up call. It became my wake-up call. It was a specific decision I made that I can no longer try to be somebody that I'm not. And I kind of ran into accountability scared, but the cool thing there was when I moved to Kansas City, there was the chaplain of the Chiefs was a guy that didn't work for FCA, worked for a different sports ministry. And I kind of in very vague terms said, I got a problem. He says, you need to be accountable. I said, well, what's that look like? He says, hey, there's two guys on the Chiefs who have also indicated that they are struggling with a problem. Again, I was too scared to tell them what my problem was. So I just was very vague about it. And he says, I think you guys should become accountable. And I says, what's that look like? He says, well, you answer these questions. And he handed a list of seven questions in front of me. And the very first question on that page was a sexual purity question. I was dead to rights right there. I mean, that was the one, but I didn't want to reveal it. So I pretended to read the other six questions. And I'm hemming and hawing. And I finally said these words. I said, you know what? Maybe weeks from now, months from now, or years from now, I could answer these type of questions, but I could never do this. I could never do this. And he looked at me and he said, these guys aren't perfect. They're just like you, and they want to process with you. So I said yes. I don't know why I said yes to this new deal. And guess what, Don? I had a brand new problem now. I wanted to be holy. I wanted to be godly. I wanted to be a good example to these guys that needed accountability as much as me. So I made a pledge that day. As of this day, I'll never do porn again. And Don, that worked really good for 30 days.
There you go.
30 days. And here was my wake-up call. Here's that moment in time. I'm traveling on business with FCA through, get this, DFW Airport.
Mm-hmm.
DFW. And I wandered into a gift shop that I had history with. And literally within seconds of me proclaiming I want to be accountable, I'm right there in front of the very trash that has plagued me for years. And I won't go into the gory details of what happened, but the whole event ended with me extending my arm to look at this trash. When from behind me, I get a tap, three taps on my shoulder, and staring me in the face when I turned around was one of my dearest friends from Seattle, Washington, who happened to be in that gift shop at the same time. And he had six words for me. He says, Rod, what are you doing here? What are you doing here? And of course, I tried to hem and haw. Well, I'm going to Boston. And my voice is at an octave it's never at before. You know, I mean, I'm trying to scramble. I'm trying to get out of this jam I'm in. And I never forget what he did. He looked me in the eye, put both hands on my shoulder. He says, Rod, I didn't ask you where you're going. I said, what are you doing here? What are you doing? And I'd been caught first time. And I made a pledge in that moment. I said, I'm going to get with my accountability guys and tell them what my problem is and ask them to help me with this problem, because I don't got it within myself to fix it. And I went back with fear and trepidation, called this emergency meeting with my two guys from the Chiefs. And I said, guys, I've been lying about something for years. I'm a hypocrite. I'm a phony. I'm a fraud. I'm leading a double life, and I got a problem. It's called pornography. And they said, hey, we'll help you. And now will you help with us with our stuff too? That was the beginning of accountability for me 30 years ago. And I tell you what, I am so free today. It has brought transformation. The word literally saved my life, Don. And I don't know if you've ever heard of something. I'll go on a quick little tangent. There's something called alternative history. There's people that study events of the world and say, hey, what would have happened if Hitler would have won World War II? Or what would have happened if never rose from the dead? Well, I've actually used that question to say, what would happen if Rod Hanley never become accountable? Here's what I believe. I would no longer have a ministry. I would maybe not even have a family. I'm not even sure I'd be alive today. That's how transformative accountability has been in my life. It saved my life because I was heading down a bad trail.
A lot of, a lot of men have heard about accountability from a sexual standpoint. Definitely heard about it there, but I would bet that, and really thanks for sharing the story. I mean, it's very transparent of you to do that even, here, but also, have you found that accountability is good in other areas as well for men and for men, for people, for kids? We'll talk about how to put in the lives of our kids in a minute, but let's stay with this men deal for a minute, because that's where your ministry is. Is it good for more than just sexual sin as well?
Absolutely. It's
and how so?
And so, we actually designed some questions for men, for women, for teens, even for married couples, to begin to get down to some of those root issues of our life. And it's much more than sexual. It has to do with our time with Jesus, has to do with how we, our financial dealings, how we treat people, how we work, how we maintain our body, you know, the lies that we may promote, the half truths, the, you know, the embellishes. I mean, all those things are wrapped into accountability. And so we invite people to answer the hard questions. And again, it can sound very structured, very formal, very legalistic, but the heart of these questions is to get down to what are the areas in your life where you're not being honest with God, honest with others, and honest with yourself. And that's really what the heartbeat of accountability. It's bringing honesty into all of those relationships. Now, obviously God knows and you know, but this tricky part is how you engage others and how you invite them into that to know what you know and know what God knows and kind of marry those together. And it's crazy cool. I'll use your word. It's a crazy how God, in the midst of that self-disclosure, and that's what accountability is, it's self-disclosure. It's not them prying out these answers. It's you saying, hey, here's what I'm struggling with, and here's the areas that I need you to pray for, and I need you to walk with me. I don't need judgment, because guess what? God can judge enough, and I don't need conviction, because the Holy Spirit's doing. I need someone to love me and encourage me, help me to make a roadmap and a plan so that I can kill this beast, whatever that beast is. And guess what? It's the gamut of stuff. The common one seems to be sexual, but it's a gamut of issues.
Right, right.
And that's what we're trying to get to. What are those issues? What are those hot buttons?
So how do you do that in a way that it seems like that, you know, that the standards that we put to ourselves and you know, if you have accountability questions, it's usually going to be pretty high standards. And yet so often we go in there and we have failures in our lives. So we have places we've missed the mark where we've struggled, you know, just like with the best intentions, we go in, we have our 30-day plans but yet times we don't. How do those groups still help people not feel like a big loser every time they come in there? How do you, I'm sure you have a way with, you've studied this enough that you have a way that the people wind up confessing, but they wind up being encouraged as well. Tell us about that a little bit.
Well, we celebrate victories.
Yeah.
It's again, not about perfection. It's about direction. And so we keep raising the stakes. And let me tell you some of the early things that we did to try to deter bad behavior. Let's say your issue is pornography. Let's say that's the one, and that's the one. So we say, okay, so when you come in and report, $20 for the first time, $50 the second time, $100 for the next time. You know, I mean, you begin to create some pain points where they're like, oh my goodness, this is actually going to not just, you know, cost me a little bit of, you know, pride, but it's going to start hitting my wallet. And then here's what you do. You really want to really raise the stakes on this thing, this pot of money that's maybe growing, potentially growing. Then you say, okay, now we're not going to throw a party with this stuff. We're actually going to send this money onto an organization that you hate and despise. Let's say Planned Parenthood is not on your list of favorites. We're going to give the money that you've been wallowing in the sin in to Planned Parenthood to help promote their causes.
Oh, gosh.
Also, wow. You go, you changed the, I mean, really? Seriously? I mean, so we want them to experience not the personal pain, but the overall pain of this area of my life is going to literally kill me someday if I don't address it. And so we work with people to champion victories, champion success. Okay, I'm making stride. This opportunity present itself. And we're getting them to hate that sin as much as God hates that sin. God never hates the sinner, but he hates the sin. And that we get to the point where we're going, I'm just, my body revolts at the thought of promoting this and going down that trail. And so we've seen guys make radical decisions and choices, because it all comes down to choices and decisions that you make, and you attach enough pain to that on the initial side that you begin to build healthy habits, healthy lifestyle, healthy outlets, and you know what you can't do anymore. One of my other pain points, Don, was gambling. I was addicted to gambling. And guess what? I mean, I had some failures as I worked with my guys to try to rid that beast. And guess what? Now I know where I need to go, how I can avoid that, like the plague. And guess what? In and of itself, gambling may not be that big of a deal to a lot of people. I've got a group of guys in my church that have a Texas Hold'em night every Friday night, and I have a wide open invite. But guess what? I can't go.
Right.
Because I know what it does to me. I know what it will lead to. And so I don't curse them and say, you guys are bad for doing that. But I know Rod Hanley can't be there.
Yeah, the same thing could be alcohol, or it could be even anger. I mean, so often I think that we underestimate the power of anger, and but with accountability, some people will say that, you know, willpower doesn't work. Yes. But yet a lot of times, and I'm just talking about perceptions of accountability, because I think it has a bad rap, and I think that we give it a bad rap, and that's one of the reasons I wanted to have you on with and talk about it, because I think that, you know, I've seen a lot of people have some when done right, have a lot of breakthroughs with consistent accountability. But some people associate accountability with willpower. Like you're going to, so tell us about that a little bit, because really what you're saying is we want to change the way we think about the sin, you know, in the gift of Planned Parenthood, which I think is really interesting to do something like that. But, how do you get someone through accountability to change their belief system over time? I'm sure you've seen it. And I'm just curious what you would tell people about that.
Yeah. So the words we use, stop it, doesn't work. You know, just stop it. Just stop it. I mean, yeah. That's, there's a very funny Bob Newhart episode, if you ever want to check it on YouTube, with the word stop it. And it just
talk about aging us, because I watched Bob Newhart and there's a lot of people that be like, Bob, who, what in the world are you talking about?
And it's a comical look at how ridiculous it is to say the word stop it. So here's what you have to say. You have to say, before you say no to something, you got to say yes to something else. And so you're saying yes to purity, yes to godliness, yes to holiness, yes to keeping my family together, yes to walking in integrity. And when you can say yes to those things, it's very, very easy to say no to all that, the trash and the garbage. It's the higher calling. It's the higher responsibility. I mean, Ephesians 4:1 says, I urge you therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, to present your, Romans 12:1. But you know, we're presenting our bodies holy and acceptable to God. We're stepping up to the plate and saying, I'm going to accept the high calling that God has in my life. And so what you're doing, and let me just give you some scripture, because I think scripture points out this. Proverbs 11:14, where there's no guidance, the people fall, but in abundance of counselors, there's victory. We get to experience victory. Proverbs 9:8-9 says, reprove a wise man and he will love you. Give instruction to a wise man, he'll still be wiser. Teach a righteous man, he will increase his learning. You're going to get smarter. I mean, here's a bad verse, but it's a good verse contained here. Proverbs 12:1, whoever loves discipline loves knowledge, but he who hates reproof is stupid.
Mm-hmm.
Idiot. Proverbs 27:17, as iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Here's a good one. I just shared this verse with my son earlier today. We were talking about true friends, and Proverbs 27:6 says, faithful are the wounds of a friend, but deceitful are the kisses of an enemy.
Mm-hmm.
A true friend will say, you know what? I love you so much that I'm willing even to endanger our friendship by speaking the truth to you with love. Again, it's not a spirit of condemnation. It's not a spirit of judgment. It's not a spirit of, you know, I gotcha. you know, and I'm going to play the Holy Spirit. I'm going to try to convict you. It's inviting truth into the conversation. And in Hebrews 3:13 tells us, reminds us, but encourage one another day after day, as long as it's called a day, lest anyone be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. So as we practice James 5:16, which is confessing our sins to one another and praying for one another, guess what that verse says? We do those things so we'll be healed. We'll be whole and complete. It says the effective prayer of a righteous man accomplishes much. And then, and I'll just add this because it's got to be my favorite verse of all of these. Ecclesiastes 4:9-10 says, two are better than one. Because they have good return for the work. If one falls down, his friend can help him up. But pity the man who falls and has no one to help him up. Here's what the New Living Translation says. And this motivates me to accountability. It says, the man who is alone is in real trouble. Don, I remember what it was like to be alone. And I was in trouble. I mean, I had all the appearances, all was well. I mean, doing these really cool things for Jesus, discipling guys, ministering to guys. And yet this haunting fear that, man, can I keep the charade going another day? Can I keep
that you're going to be exposed is what you said before.
I'm going to be found out. And I didn't want to be that guy.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, Don, and you and I have talked about this offline, we see many, many, many. I mean, it's just staggering the numbers of people who are saying one thing from the pulpits and living a secret life, and then they get found out, and guess what? Their ministry, their influence, it ends like instantly.
Yeah. Well, and so in our ministry, I want to kind of wrap that piece up and then go another direction here, because in our ministry, we talk to kids a lot, but parents, you know, it really is about what you would say, parent to parent, man to man, woman to woman. Is to find those trusted friends and to ask those questions. I want to ask you though, as we move forward in the podcast a little bit, because a lot of times in our world of Crazy Cool Family, we are teaching parents to connect with their kids. Okay. And what we're trying to overcome is parents really being too harsh with their children out of fear a lot, especially with technology and culture going the way it is. Many parents are becoming more and more fearful. And what does fear lead? It leads to control. It leads to lecturing. It leads to all kinds of things that make the relationship with their child become distant, become non-existent, maybe become just a critical place in their lives. So with the backdrop of that, it feels like I'm always trying to pull. Suzanne and I feel like our superpower is to help parents learn to connect with their kids in a real way. So they build trust, they build life, they build all these things. But then if I start talking to parents about accountability, I feel like it's almost like giving them a weapon, you know, in some ways. Yeah, go beat on your kid and make sure. But I feel like you're going to tell us something really different with your questions and things. So I'm hopeful anyway, because I haven't read it yet, what you've been doing with your stuff yet. But how do you help a parent help his team become put accountability into the lives of their kids and still be a connector and still be a, you know, we always talk about Hebrews 4, that God has a throne of grace. And I ask parents a lot, what's your throne look like, you know, with your child? Yet, you know, how do you have a throne of grace and yet build accountability into your relationship with your teenager or even younger child?
Yeah. So here's our phrase. I don't know if you heard me say this last couple of weeks when we were together, but you have to lead with a limp, which is communicating to your kids. Hey, guess what? Mom and dad are not perfect either. We're all in process.
I love that.
And before I invite you
to explain why you would say lead with a limp, I think I remember, but you explain it.
Yeah. Before you invite them to, you know, go through your checklist of all the bad things you see them doing, share with them, hey, here's what I'm learning. Here's what God's showing me. Here's the sin that I'm struggling with. Here's the area that my holiness is challenged every single day with this. And you're inviting them to know, hey, this is what we're going through. And guess what? We know you're as human as we are. And how can we help you? How can we encourage you? How can we bless you? Because guess what? There's a good chance that whatever you're struggling with, we've been on that path too.
Do you find that parents are just terrified to do that? Because I think that so many parents want to be perfect. They think, yeah. So how do you see parents dealing with that?
Well, again, it's just being honest and real with God, others, and yourself. And we made it a point in our family, and you met my son, Derek, last week, so you know a little bit about him.
Mm-hmm.
So I was very real with Derek, with my issues, with the things that was going on. And he can tell you, I drug him to all kinds of purity conferences and all kinds of stuff. And we did that. So here was what happened when Derek got to college. And now he's in an environment where he's not, here hovering, we're not hovering over him and monitoring stuff. He went to the campus pastor that the fellowship group that he was in. And he said, hey, I want some accountability here. I want to continue this thing that I've, and you know what the pastor said?
Mm-mm.
Your dad has brainwashed you. He says, that's not how we do it around here. He gave Derek the picture of, we treat our people like this ranch in Australia that has no fences. And the animals have learned in this ranch in Australia, if they want to stay alive, they got to stay close to the well. They got to stay close to the well, or if they get too far away, they won't live. That's how we do our ministry. We they know where the well is, but we don't have any check-in. We don't have any reporting. We don't have any explaining. You just do what you want. And my son Bates said, I won't be involved in your ministry. He said, I know myself. I know my capabilities, and my dad hasn't brainwashed me. In fact, my dad has hundreds of verses on why this is important. Give me your verses to support what you just shared. And the guy didn't have a single verse. There's no verse. There's no biblical reference for that. And so he embraced that. And guess what? Without me suggesting to Derek that he might want to avoid social media, Derek came to me and says, Dad, if I'm going to be a pure and holy man and be accountable, I need to not be on Facebook. I don't need to be on Twitter. And guess what? He's been married now for 5+ years. He doesn't have those accounts.
Mm-hmm.
He knows what he's capable of doing. And he said his own, he's self-disclosed because I self-disclosed. And he said, this is what I'm choosing to do. I told you, Don, and it warmed my heart. And I told you this when we were together. I had the privilege of marrying my son, being the officiating pastor. And the first time he kissed his wife was when I pronounced them man and wife. I said, Derek, I may kiss your bride for the very first time.
Right.
It was a decision he had made based on the fact that I had been so real with him that he says, this is what I want. I choose to become. And I, of course, celebrated with him. I walked with him. I said, but I guess I would have been proud of him no matter, because he's my son.
Mm-hmm.
But what a blessing to know that he's going to not have that history and that garbage that the enemy wants to bring up because of decisions he made. So, yeah, we do a lot of celebrating.
What are some of those questions that you have the parent and the teens, not giving away all your material, but just give us an example of some of those questions that a parent and teen might talk about regularly?
Well, of course, they would be modified from what we ask man to man or women to women or in the couples setting, but we're asking questions about sexual purity. Actually, let me lead with this. The very first question that we have is tell us about your time in the Word. Tell us what God is speaking to you.
Yeah. Right?
And what we've learned over the years, the more positive that response is, the better the rest of the response is going to be.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, if your time with Jesus is really lacking, guess what? You open Pandora's box. So we start with that. We start with, what's God teaching you and showing you, and what are you learning? We've got a sexual purity question. We know that's a big issue. That's a big issue with my kids. It's a big issue with most kids. We talk about financial stuff, our wants, our needs, our issues. We talk about relationships. I mean, relationships are vital not just family relationship, but our friend relationships. You know, John 15, 13 says, greater love has no man than this, and he lay down his life for his friends.
Yeah.
Who are you hanging with?
Yeah.
Who are you spending time with? What's that look like? You know, who are you willing to die for? Who's willing to die for you? Talk about the depth of how you're treating your friends and even your family. We talk about the, you know, the things they're consuming their mind with, their work time, their play time, you know, their TV time. What's all that look like in terms of, are you being productive and efficient with the limited hours of day that you have? Again, I alluded this earlier, you know, what are you doing physically to stay in shape?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, what's your eating habits? What's your sleeping habits like? And again, it's not in a spirit of condemnation, but and a lot of times people know the answers to this. It's not like they don't know the answers to this, but they need validation that the track they're on is actually working for them. You know, insanity is doing the same thing over and over and expecting a different result.
And so then what do you do as a parent? I think this is where you were talking about there's no condemnation with it. And I want to kind of wrap up with this and then talk about how they can get in touch with you. But so then let's say you're building that trust with that teenager. And then that teenager says, well, here's some things. And he starts, and all of a sudden you get a handful of things that are just a mouthful, if you will. And you go, oh my goodness. You know, what in the world? I had no idea that you were doing this. And now fear can kick in, lectures can kick in. Well, you know, we've got to do, I mean, how does that parent handle that? I mean, you've talked about that we confess to them, you know, and I think that's got to be age appropriate. But sometimes when you build that trust, something's going to come back to you and it's going to be, oh my goodness. And it's going to put fear in us. And, you know, I haven't parented you well. You know, the world is this crazy place. I'm angry about this. Somebody's violated you. I mean, whatever it is, how does a parent handle that when they actually get what they paid for, so to speak?
Well, the surprise would be that you're not hearing that stuff because that stuff's going on. I mean, it'd be shocking for you not to have a day like that would occur. And to be quite honest, here's my response. Thank you for being honest with me. Thank you for telling me the truth. I love you. I believe in you. I am for you. You and I know that's not who you are. That's not who you are as a person. Would you allow me to help you to begin to make new steps, new decisions? Would you allow me to pray for you? Allow me to stand with you and to help you and support you. They don't need you to be, again, the Holy Spirit or God at that point. They need you to love them.
Well, yeah. And I can even think, maybe even say, I love that, to say that's not who you are, but almost like, do you want to continue in that vein?
Absolutely.
Is that something you want in your life? Well, no. Okay. Then now, I love the way you're asking the question. Would you like me to help you? You know, because they might even say no. You know, they might even say, I'm not ready for this, or, you know, this is hard. You know, I feel ashamed. So many things that could happen. Do you find sometimes that if the relationship's not great with the parents, that maybe there even could be other people come in and help, or even counseling or things like that? How do you recommend those type things when you find out things going on?
Yeah. If it's above your pay grade, and it may be very well, will you let me help get you the help you need? Pay for that help. You know, don't put it on them. You know,
we do it in sports, you know, we do it in gray. We get tutors. I mean, you know, it really is a good thing to be able. And so, you know, Rod, here's what, I love to summarize. I love to bring things into focus for parents, especially when we have wise people like you that have been down the road and have helped a lot of people, a lot of men especially. But I mean, one of them, you just said to start out with, when you're talking to your, you know, at the first of the podcast, we talked about accountability among your peers. Okay. And there's a certain level of accountability. But then we started talking about accountability with your kids. Just a couple of things you've said, I want the parents to make sure they hear. One of them is you lead with a limp. You engage with them from a, and you're vulnerable to some, to at least some degree about what's happening. I mean, like, for example, one of the things I don't tell parents, I tell parents to be careful about is talking about their marriage issues. You never want to talk about your spouse in any way that's degrading to any of your children. Well, you know, mom's, you know, just annoying sometimes, you know, I mean, that's, it's nothing we would really say there. You know, I wouldn't do, you know, I don't think, but talking about your own issues and things like that, that's awesome. You lead with a limp. And, but the second thing you said was, is that when you hear, the second thing we said really was, when you hear something, what now don't freak out. Don't freak out. Go, oh my goodness, I can't believe this. You know, you're, you know, and basically reinforce their shame, reinforce the, how terrible of a person they are. Man, that's what not to do. And so, but to do is to say, hey, I love you. I believe in you. I don't, do you want to change those type of things? And so if we can do, if we can lead with a limp and then be really willing to hear and process with them what we hear from them, man, then that's going to bring about, and I kind of circle back to where you were at the start of that freedom. You know, what we want is freedom from sin. We want freedom, the power to do what God wants us to do. And so I really want to bring that kind of into focus. As we close, I'm just curious, like, you have a lot of great resources. You've written like 4,000 books and you've got a lot of material and stuff, but so they can go to your website and that's characterthatcounts.org, right? Yeah, character that can, this will all be in the show notes too, but characterthatcounts.org. But we always direct people to the website, but I want you to hear from you. If someone goes to your website and they're a parent and they want to have accountability with their teenager or with others, where would you direct them to go within that website? Would be the best place for them to go?
Well, two resources that we're working on. One is really, really kid-centric, and it's a Fruit of the Spirit series that we've developed, where we take the nine fruit and we branch off 16 different character qualities that we're teaching. And at the crux of all those teachings is this spirit of accountability. And we've actually designed the books with a QR code. So they're going to hear a different voice. He's actually one of the University of Nebraska football coaches. Gives a 1 minute kind of a vignette spoken word. And then I give a written word with all kinds of questions. And I love when parents and their kids, and this is all in the context of sports, because that's kind of the lane I'm in, but it all is a sports illustration that ties to it. And they can just get into some really great conversations. And I would use the two ears you have to really listen to what God is saying, but also listen to what they're saying and the responses they have as you build their character. And it's all done in the spirit of accountability, all done that way. So those are called the team workouts on character. So that's the resource that's there. And then the second thing I'd point you to are these specific questions, which we say, take our questions as a guideline and then modify them to the specific child, the specific student, you know, the specific kid in your home that work with them on a developing the questions that apply to them, the areas that are their hot buttons, and lead with that first question: how are you and Jesus doing? And the last question is the second most critical question, which is, have you lied any of your answers today?
right.
Look in those two things, because this is not what mom and dad want to hear time. This is about what's really going on in your life. And I want to hear you. And I don't want to, I'm here to love you. You're my child and I believe in you. And you and I want hopefully the same thing, to walk in godliness, to walk in holiness. I've seen some wonderful, wonderful stories take place when mom and dad bring that kind of spirit to it. And they're in the battle with their kids, because guess what? The enemy wants their kids. we have to want them as much as the enemy does. And there's a way to do that. There's a path to do that.
Yeah, you have on your website, I was looking at it right here, that you've got some accountability questions like laminated they can get for $5. I mean, it's really, it's a great resource. 25 teens laminated accountability questions. And so there's also men's and women's. So just great stuff that are about accountability. Go to the website, characterofthecounts.org. Just everything there, super affordable or free. There's also just different places you're speaking as well. So I just encourage parents to, it's good. I'll finish with this. I feel like that with my boys in particular, I was just having a discussion with my youngest son. I feel like that of all the things I've done with my boys in parenting, I just sent a boy off, married just yesterday, as a matter of fact, as we're recording this podcast. And as I look back on my parenting, what I'm trying to adjust right now, and I've been doing this 30 years, still adjusting as a parent. So, still learning, still doing things. But that is that I haven't held my boys accountable enough. I've had some accountability and I think they have, but I think that I could have done a better job of being more challenging to them. We're super relational here at Crazy Cool Family. I think sometimes I have let the relationship make me be a little bit, accommodating to them rather than challenging. And so,
you can do both.
Yeah, exactly. And I just feel like I've been more on the accommodating side, really wanting them to get it themselves, and maybe could have challenged them a little better during their teenage years and even through college. And trying to correct that right now and really pursuing them differently. I just wanted them to know that I was there for them and didn't challenge them as much as maybe I could have. So believe me, it's worth looking into, parents. It's worth, and for most of you, it might be the other way where you're trying to, you need to scale it back a little bit, figure out how to lead with a limp a little more. In any way, whatever that is with you, I just encourage you to check out Rod's resources and go through its character. We didn't talk a lot about a character and integrity today because I really wanted to focus on that accountability. But so many different resources there too about how to teach character and to bring them. Wouldn't it be great if all of your kids are full of integrity and full of the God's character in their lives? So Rod, thank you so much for your time. You're just a wise man and you got a lot of experience and wisdom to give us. So thank you for your time and thanks again. And take care. And as always, parents, go be crazy, crazycoolfamily.com.